Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Mornings on CBS Sports Radio.
Happy Being Alive Day, everybody. Thanks so much for dropping on by. Coming up in 20 minutes, we are stunned to an ooze. And in 40 minutes... some think that Oklahoma should tone down its celebrations. Should they? Next hour, Christopher Mintz-Plasse. You know him as McLovin from Superbad. He was also in Kick-Ass and a number of other funny movies. He's going to join us here on the show because he's been part of, or was prematurely dismissed from, Stars on Mars, which... we have a mothership around here. Of course, we're going to interview people from Stars on Mars. Christopher Mintz-Plasse from the reality show on Fox these days is going to join us coming up here 1 hour and 15 minutes from now. But we begin with Jacob DeGrom, where yesterday DeGrom and the Texas Rangers announced that he is going to have season-ending surgery on a ligament in his elbow. And so the Rangers are having a wonderful season, one of their best starts ever, but it will be this season if they do make a run to October without who was going to be their perceived ace or one of the aces of their staff when he signed a five-year deal in the offseason. It's Tommy John surgery again for the often injured Jacob DeGrom. He had this early in his career. And now, in his mid-30s, he's going to have it again. He'll miss, obviously, all of this season. And then, at the very least, a chunk of next season, if not the entire season next year as well. So the Rangers will have to do this without DeGrom. And DeGrom was very emotional yesterday when he talked about it.
It's tough, so. But.
All right.
You know, I went through this before, and, you know what it takes to get back. So that's the goal. Go out there, you know, rehab as the best I can and be around to help, you know, any way I can. You know, we got a special group here. And to not be able to be out there and, you know, help them win, it's tanks. So this is what we love to do, but, you know, finding this out, coming here wanting to be out here and helping the team, you know, it's a disappointment, so.
Can somebody silence their ringer? Somebody's doing... we're doing an emotional Jacob DeGrom press conference here. The media's assembled. He's nearly bawling his eyes out because it's another long rehab and another arm injury for a great. And somebody's got their ringer on. Dude, shut off your iPhone. Come on. Come on, DeGrom deserves a little bit more respect than that. He's having a moment here, guys. Silence the phone. Silence the ringer. So DeGrom in the offseason signed a five-year, $185 million deal. The Rangers had a sixth-year club option. Now, that was going to swing between $20 and nearly $40 million based on how the first 5 years went, whether he won Cy Young's, went to All-Star games, total innings pitched. But there was a sixth-year option of this. I can tell you, let's just set this aside. Nobody roots for anybody to get injured, and that includes Mets fans such as myself who watched DeGrom leave in the offseason. DeGrom was just beautiful to watch when he was healthy, but he was just never healthy over the last 2 to 3 seasons. And when he signed this deal, I think every Mets fan said, yeah, what are you going to do? I mean, there was, I think, frustration that he never really seemed to want to stay. And the Mets, it was his only franchise ever. He went to a World Series with them. He won a pair of Cy Young Awards with them. And they have a ton of money, so you would have thought that he would have wanted to stay because there was a chance to win. But he never really gravitated, I think, to New York. He was more of a country boy, didn't maybe necessarily love the big city lifestyle. So he just never really had a taste for re-signing. And the Mets just were not going to give him 5 years. So there was a little bit of angst on his way out the door of, wow, you didn't even kind of give the Mets a chance. At the same time, there was an exhale because nobody who watched him with the Mets thought he was going to make 5 years. At his age, with his history, no way. And the fact that we came out of spring training and already in spring training, they were already limiting him, delaying his first start, was a bad sign. And when the news came down yesterday, it was probably the least surprising baseball injury news I've ever heard. Really, I mean, I won't say that I gasp at injuries or Tommy John surgeries, but in terms of predictability, if you would have given me the over-under 1.5 years of when he will be shut down with an arm injury for the rest of the season, I would have taken the under. I would have said within the first 2 years in Texas, he will be shut down with an arm injury for the rest of the season. And he hit the under, well under. He did it by early June of year number one. So it's sad because when he's healthy, he's ridiculous. I don't know if at this point in his career he still is. But when you hear him crying, fighting tears there, yeah, I think part of it is you feel the pressure to deliver for your new team. They just gave you $185 million that they don't get a refund on. All $185 goes to you. So I think DeGrom feels crummy that he was expected to do a lot and he won't. And I think probably this is a good, a fun team, one of their best teams ever, at least to start the season. And he feels crummy that he won't be part of it. I think that's part of it. But I think there might be also a reality of another arm injury, another year-long rehab, and what am I on the back end of this injury? Those tears yesterday might have been the harsh reality that the, quote, greatness of DeGrom might really be over. And I've seen some comps to Tim Lincecum, kind of slight guys, thin guys that created torque and velocity and just riddled hitters in their prime but broke down physically. Maybe that's a pretty good comp for him. But Bogues, when I heard and saw the clip yesterday, I saw it on social first and then I saw it on MLB Network after that in full, there is a part of me that thought, I wonder if this is DeGrom sensing he'll never be great because he's too old to come back from another Tommy John and be what he ever was before that. What was your takeaway?
Yeah, I mean, it's him staring kind of reality in the face. And I don't know how many dots we can connect, but I mean, this has kind of been on the table for a while now. Like, he had elbow issues. He didn't have surgery. The Mets have never been good about diagnosing and discussing and letting us know injuries and, you know, did he have a tear that he was going to pitch through? He didn't have a tear. He did have a tear. It's this, it's that. Like, this has been going on for a long time with him. And You know, he hasn't pitched that many seasons, but he started at like 20. He was an old rookie. So, like, he's old now. And this is compromising, obviously, the rest of this year and at least, if not longer, the first half of next year. So I don't know how you wouldn't be heartbroken that you tried to been fighting this off for a long time, and now it's finally here. And on the back end of it, who knows what you're going to be?
Yeah, he's 34. I think I read that he would be 36 when he finally comes back from that. I think he might turn 35 this season and then be 36 on the back end. So, I mean, what are you at 36 after your second Tommy John surgery? I mean, of course, guys come back from Tommy John. He did, obviously. But a different point in his career, a second one is really tough. And as you just said, the last 3 years have been kind of like scotch taping him together so that you didn't have to have the Tommy John. Limiting starts every time he felt anything in his elbow or arm, shoulder, you shut him down, you give him huge rest. You know, I don't know. When he signed this five-year deal, I was like, they'll never get 5 years out of him. What was your sense when they gave him that huge money in the offseason?
Yeah, I mean, it was money the Mets couldn't give him. It was money. If you wanted to get him, you had to go crazy to put, you know, those terms on the table in front of him. I still think, you know, that there's time for this deal not to be a complete train wreck and waste of money, because he still could be useful after this. But I mean, it's tough halfway through year one of a really significant gamble, and now this is basically worst case scenario. I guess a shoulder injury would be the only thing worse than this.
Right, they would have gotten 2 months out of him in year one. Let's see if they get anything out of him in year two. Maybe he comes back for the second half of next season, but they wouldn't get a healthy, out-of-the-block, full season minimum until year three when he's 36 years old.
Right.
And they gave him $185 million.
And I was just reading this morning that it's not insured. They did not take insurance out on his contract because it was too expensive because of his injury history. So they get no money back from anybody in lost salary here. But apparently him getting hurt like this gives them an option for 2028. Now, again, that's now 39-year-old Jacob DeGrom that they could have under contract for, you know, an acceptable amount of money, but that's not a good trade by any way, shape, or form.
Now, they've got baseball's second-best record. They're 39-20. So they've done all of this basically without DeGrom anyway. So what do you think about the Rangers' prospects over the course of the season?
I mean, it's June whatever now. You have to take them seriously. They won again last night. So now they're actually 40-20, and they score you-know-what ton of runs. And they've got Nate Eovaldi and Andrew Heaney pitching like they're Walter Johnson and Cy Young out of nowhere. It's just, it's crazy. I guess they have staying power. I don't know that they play whatever 40-20 is percentage wise over the entire season. But you have to think they're legit. This has been 2+ months now of them hitting the cover off the ball. So even if they give back a couple of runs per game or whatever, they still should be fine.
This is probably the end of any great, great DeGrom moments. But I want to bring Bilotti into this as well, because the three of us watched him as Mets fans when he was great, great. And I just want to take a moment, because if this is the end of him being great, great, let's just take a moment to remember when he was at his best, how dominant he was. Pete the Body, I mean, when he took the mound in his prime Cy Young years, he was unhittable. He was a reason to just simply sit there and just watch a pitcher take on the opposing hitters. You didn't have to watch the at-bats of the Mets. He was that dominant. I mean, what did you think when you were watching his prime years?
Oh, it was the best. I said it to my father. It's the best pitcher I've ever seen when he's on the mound.
For the Mets or anybody? Like anybody. That includes Pedro and Randy Johnson and Clemens in their dominant years?
Yes. He was the best. It was just something on another level. I didn't see Seaver, but I didn't see much of Gooden when he was in his prime, at least from a Mets standpoint. I saw Pedro. So for me, it's that magical year with Pedro, and it's anything DeGrom has done in terms of the best pitchers I've seen. He was just appointment watching every time he went on the mound. Every time. It wasn't one start or two starts or any start. Every time he was healthy, it was an attraction.
Bogues, do you consider DeGrom's career a tragic one if this is how it I don't want to say it ends here. This won't be the last pitch he throws, but if this is how the end of it goes.
I don't think I'd use the word tragic, but like disappointing from a fan's perspective, disappointing for him that we just didn't get to see him be peak Jacob DeGrom long enough. You know, the two Cy Young years were 18 and 19, but the way he began 2021, where there were starts where the other guys didn't make contact, basically, that was, I've never seen anything like that since Pedro. And like Pete, I was too young to understand and appreciate Gooden and Randy Johnson, the other names that you mentioned, but the way that 2021 season started, I think his ERA was just over a run a game. It just, it didn't make sense how good he was and how helpless the other guys were against him.
He was so dynamic. It was very much like a Pedro, a Randy Johnson, a Gooden in his prime where, like Pete just said, he was appointment watching. He was one of those rare pitchers where you just didn't want to miss that start, that every fifth day it was like a spectacle. And it was so brief. I mean, I would say even Bogues, even their World Series year in 2015, he wasn't like that, right?
He was great in the playoffs.
He was. But in terms of the dominant peak DeGrom, probably 17 through 21, so maybe a five-year run there in one of those years with the COVID year that doesn't really count.
Right.
So we got like four unbelievable seasons.
Yeah, I mean, maybe not even that much. I've got his numbers in front of me now. Like raw numbers-wise, his wins will never make sense because he only has 84 of them, and he probably should have had 184
with
the Mets.
How about that? He only has 84 wins. He only has less than 100 wins in his career.
Bunch of bad teams.
But, well, bad teams, and like a lot of other elite pitchers, he had maybe, though, the world's worst luck. He left so many games with leads that, or gave up one run or gave up two runs and they only scored one. I mean, he had no luck in terms of getting decisions. But really, you know, the only 3 years that stand out are 18, 19, and 21. 2020 is too short because of COVID. And, you know, he had low ERAs his first 2 years, but he wasn't the dynamic guy. There were really only like three truly elite seasons, which is three more than most guys get. But we didn't get enough of him at his best, and that's what sucks about this.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, he signed with the Rangers, and there was a sense, I think, from him of, if I can put together five really good seasons here, I have an outside shot of the Hall of Fame. I really think if you read into some of his quotes, he thought that there was an outside shot that if he got to 130 wins or something like that, he had another Cy Young, three Cy Youngs or something like this, maybe that he would get considered. And now it's just not going to happen because he's going to have partial seasons in the next two because his peak was so great. But you're right. It was so short. It was like blink your eye and it was gone.
I think it was The Athletic. Somebody did a thing recently, like the amount of Hall of Famers, so to speak, playing right now. And they were broken into categories, guys who are locks, guys who are almost there, guys who may be there, and then like, you know, stretching for guys who have the trajectory. He wasn't even on any of those, not even the last like catch-all one, because I don't know how you put him in. As good as those three-ish seasons were, it's just not enough.
Yeah, it's a bizarre career because you look at the numbers at the end of the day, and anybody that didn't live through Jacob DeGrom will be like, well, he wasn't that good. And then you will, you know, you'll see a couple of Cy Youngs and a couple of remarkable seasons. And it'll just seem like a blip on the radar. But if you did watch him, you're like, my God, that is one of the greatest pitchers of the last at least 25 years. That's no doubt. And it would just, injuries, it killed him. His arm could never hold up, and now it's done again. And for the Rangers, hey, it might not matter. They've had a great season already. But for him, that was emotional. He was never the guy that wore his heart on his sleeve. He was always a guy that kept his cards close to the vest. You didn't really know what he was thinking. He was very mysterious in that way, very cryptic in that way. He didn't let people in. Yesterday when I saw his eyes welling up, I said, boy, that's unique. And then he basically breaks down crying on a press conference. We never saw that ever from DeGrom. So that really was telling yesterday, a very, very poignant moment from him.
From a guy that was a shortstop when he was drafted.
Yeah.
By Omar Minaya and turned into this type of pitcher. It was hard not to get emotional watching him at the press conference yesterday, because, you know, you you are attached to these guys, especially if you're a fan of the teams, and it's hard to see someone's career be in the balance like it is.
Yes. It's easier to watch good careers end prematurely, average careers end prematurely due to injury. You hate it all the time. But when it's great careers ended prematurely from injury, it is. You're right. It's really, really tough to watch. When we come back on the show, we are stunned to a news. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Radio.
Happy Being Alive Day, the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
The DA Show, as always, is available in podcast form. Listen to the full 4 hours of the best of the show every single morning. Go to your favorite podcast platform. Search, rate, and review. That helps other people find the podcasts. But the full 4 hours or the best of the show, always available on demand. That's DA On Demand. And my podcast, New York Accent, continues to roll along. Every Tuesday morning, we debut a new episode. And yesterday, we debuted Constantine Maroulis. You might remember him as Constantine from American Idol. Constantine was a guy with long hair. He was a rocker. He was in this rock band that kind of fancied itself almost like Black Sabbath. And then he took the stage in American Idol and blew everybody's hair back in the prime days of American Idol. This was season 4, the Carrie Underwood season. So he was a big deal, and that launched his career. He's a native New Yorker, a big Yankee fan, so we interviewed him for the podcast, and now he's on Broadway. Again, he had a star turn on Rock of Ages. He actually was nominated for a Tony Award on Rock of Ages. So that really, he was a guy that was playing in a garage band, then burst upon the scene in American Idol. He lost out to Carrie Underwood, but that was a huge boost to his career. Then he got to Rock of Ages, and if you saw that on Broadway, you know what a powerhouse play that was. And now he's got the lead role in a new play called Rock and Roll Man, which actually is the story of Alan Freed, who was a legendary disc jockey back in the 50s and 60s in Cleveland. And he basically created the term rock and roll, DJ Alan Freed. Now, Freed was a kind of a tortured soul. He was a revolutionary. He was an alcoholic. And Constantine Maroulis plays his part of this play. But it is why, for the large part, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is in Cleveland. You may have asked that question. I know that I have asked that question many times. Wait a second. Why they pick Cleveland as the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Well, Alan Freed, the legendary DJ, coined the term rock and roll, which apparently before the 50s, and he used it for music, was a phrase that you would use in like the 20s and 30s for getting it on. We're going to rock and roll. Mm-hmm. Right after that sock hop.
Mm.
Rock and roll, okay?
Uh-huh.
Rocking it. Going to get the bedroom rocking and rolling.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, after that swing dance, after that swing concert. So he coined the phrase, and then he created and helped launch the first rock and roll festivals and shows and rock and roll bands got together. So he was one of the originators of it. So that was a big reason why Cleveland had the bid for the Hall of Fame and pitched it, and part of the reason that they won it. So Constantine Maroulis was my guest this week on the podcast. You can check that out all places that you get your podcast and on YouTube as well. So just search New York Accent, or on YouTube, you can just search that podcast as well. I got this tweet from Rob the 321. DA, you know, as a regular listener to the show, that I get the incredible amount of hate, and it's absolutely absurd. The DMs I get telling me I should quit life and I have no life is astounding. It's a sports talk show for 4 freaking hours. I'd love to contribute in any way possible. But it's disturbing that many people are so ignorant to realize the bit between Mraz and I is just a bit. But you guys, and I think he means the haters out there, make it real life. I bet none of you listen to PGP episode 264 and why I stumbled across the show. And he talks about how one of his cousins actually took his own life, and that's when he was in a dark place, and that's why he found the show. And so Rob of the 321 says, I found a show that made me laugh, and I'm happy to be part of it, but DMing me all this serious hate and whatnot, you know, you guys are taking it too seriously. And I think, you know, Rob is onto something here, and I wish that Mraz was on the show today to talk about this, because Mraz obviously has this kind of war going back with Rob of the 321, but he's off today. Taylor had a fever, and then Mraz seemed to contract it, and Mraz was in the bathroom all day long. We can't tell whether that's because he's ill or because of his diet. Usually like that, but that's the situation today. But yeah, I mean, look, Robin the 321 is a great foil for Mraz. I think Mraz does genuinely get annoyed by Rob. Rob really likes to insert himself into the show. Really likes when you talk about him. He really, really likes attention. That's Rob's bit. And it annoys Mraz legitimately. Like, this isn't fake. He's legitimately annoyed by Rob. Rob threw out all of his Lions gear and swore off the Lions, then came back to root for the Lions last year. Of course, that is something that's going to get Mraz all fired up, knowing that he would never do that with however bad his teams were. He would never disassociate with them and say, I'm never going to root for them again, or throw out the apparel or whatnot. So there is a legitimate annoyance that he has, but it does not rise to, if you're sending hateful DMs to Rob, like, that's not cool. So let's keep it chill. It's fun to hate on Rob. It is fun because he is annoying at times, but let's just keep it fun. No reason to get Rob all hot and bothered. Now, who knows? Rob might have gotten like one DM from some listener and now suddenly made it a bigger thing than it is. That is possible, so that we talk about it. I don't know. Rob has a tendency to do that as well. Rob likes to worm his way into the inner workings. He knows good ways of doing this. He uses social media well that way. He could be blowing this out of proportion. I don't know. But if you're doing this to Rob, you know what? It's not. Believe me, it's not worth it. It's not worth it, and it's not needed. It's not. Just trash him. Just send us a trashing Rob of the 321. That's good enough. You don't have to DM him that he should. Whatever. Okay, standing by with headlines this morning. Here is a kind sir, Andrew Bogish.
DA, if you're on your way to work right now, you might be. PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan, he has yet to resign after caving in to greed and immorality and agreeing secretly to a merger with LIV Golf yesterday. At least one player called Monahan a hypocrite during yesterday afternoon's meeting.
I'm sure there was a lot more than one.
At the Canadian Open.
I recognize that people are going to call me a hypocrite. And anytime I've said anything, I said it with the information I had at that moment. And I said it based on someone that's trying to compete for the PGA Tour and our players.
In other hypocrite news, Pete hasn't given me his days off for Thanksgiving 2024 yet. The Heat Nuggets are back on the floor tonight. Game 3 of the finals in South Beach. Tyler Hero and his broken hand remain out for Miami. I will remind everyone, it is June 7th. April 24th was the last time the A's won a road game.
Young delivers in the pitch. That swung on. Did he do it again? A drive to deep right. Palacios looks up. And Jace Peterson is 5-for-5 with two home runs, a two-run shot, and it's 11-2 A's. Have a night, Jace Peterson.
Have a night, Jace Peterson. It's about time. That's from A's Radio. Peterson with the 5 hits and 2 homers and an 11-2 win in Pittsburgh, snapping their 15-game road skid. It's also just their 13th win total.
Is that a cool little story for the A's, or is that just how back to earth the Pirates have come?
I mean, it's a game. It's just a game. I think it's just hilarious that they went an entire month of May without winning a road game.
And I think that they're on pace for 130 losses. I think they're on pace for 133.
So I brought this up last week with Sean because at one point on the Mets broadcast, Gary Cohen was talking, the Mets TV voice, was sharing a conversation he had off air with Howie Rose, their radio voice. They're both lifelong New York City residents, Met fans. They love the Mets, and they were both saying that they're rooting for the A's to be better than the 62 Mets because they want the 62 Mets to keep the record of the worst regular season record ever.
120 losses for the 62 expansion Mets. Yeah. How many did that Tigers team, though, have? I thought the Tigers were right around 120, maybe 116 or something like that. That was the
04
Tigers. Right, remember how they were chasing down the 62 Mets for a long time that season. I think they were the second.
The Cleveland Spiders in 1899 were 20-134.
That doesn't count. It's pre-1900.
Okay, so
20-134.
Yeah, post 1900, the Philadelphia A's were 36-117.
The Tigers in 2019 were 47-114.
2019?
Yeah.
That was 4 years ago? No, there was one early in the millennium.
The Orioles, the year before that, were 47-115.
In 03, the Tigers lost 119,
right,
after losing 106 in 2002.
Oh. 03 was the year that they were one game short of the 62 Mets record, 119 losses.
I mean, it's remarkable that we've got multiple Tigers seasons to pick from. They have four seasons of 106 losses or more since 1996.
And they have one of the greatest seasons ever, the 84 team that won the World Series and was just a dominant freight train the entire year.
I mean, they've made two World Series, and they've had four 100-loss seasons in the last 3 decades. And
they keep you on your toes.
Three 110 loss seasons.
Get me out of here.
And had one of the best managers of all time managing them, Jim Leland.
And the single greatest chain smoker in baseball history, Jim Leland. And a Triple Crown winner.
Yeah.
Miggy.
Yeah. Elsewhere last night, we had the Giants getting a 10-4 win in Colorado. The Braves rallied for a 6-4 win over the Mets.
So just to go back to the
Mets,
I think that the A's probably do lose 120 games. I think they probably take out the 62 Mets because they're on pace for 130.
I don't know. That win yesterday, Bogues, you say it's just a game. They might rattle off 10 out of the next 15.
Again, those Mets losers 6-4 in Atlanta. The Marlins down the Royals 6-1. Luis Arraez, two more hits from Miami, pushing his average to 4-0-1. The Red Sox rally for a 5-4 win in Cleveland, snapping a 3-game skid. The Rays now 11-0 in home series openers after a 7-0 decision over the Twins.
Ooh, that's a betting trend.
And the Blue Jays beat the Astros 5-1. Kevin Gausman matching a career high with 13 Ks over 7. DA has already mentioned the bad news for Toronto. Struggling righty Alek Manoah demoted to rookie ball in Florida. Manoah has a 6.36 ERA after finishing third in AL Cy Young voting last season. The Las Vegas Aces 7-0 after a 90-84 win at the Sun. Asia Wilson, 23 points and 10 boards. And unlike Mraz, the Sky fought off the Fever 108-103
nice
in overtime.
Good one.
And now we get stunned.
Woohoo! it doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
Wow, when was the last time I did stunned to a news? Today we're in Berlin, where a German court is giving an 82-year-old man, quote, a last warning to avoid jail after he was found guilty of drug dealing. Again, he's 82, and just now he got caught dealing drugs.
Wow.
He's a retired sailor, and he said his pension of only 800 euro a month, that's roughly 855 in U.S. dollars, wasn't enough, so he started pushing weed.
Nice.
Now, the problem is he has 24 previous convictions, so one might ask why he was free in the first place to begin selling marijuana. But now we're asking, why is the court being nice to him since he appears to be a career criminal? But I guess at 82, because he was needed money, they're trying to be nice, and maybe they're going to let him off and kind of reduce the charges against him. But there are definitely people who want him to go to jail and I guess finish his life there for selling weed.
For a little bit of kush?
Yeah.
Come on.
This guy's done nothing wrong.
25 times.
Well, 850 bucks a month. I don't know, even in Berlin, that can't be anything close to what it would cost to have a decent living wage. So 850 bucks a month. He's 82 years old, and it's only marijuana. This isn't hard narcotics. I mean, what's the worst that he's doing? He's helping teenage kids get a little high behind the school and listen to a little weird Europunk? I mean, come on. What's the worst that this guy's doing?
Yeah, I would like to know what the 24 previous convictions were.
Well,
maybe some of that context matters.
Is it all about weed? Weed.
I also, would you guys believe that an 82-year-old guy was legitimately selling you drugs if you were looking for them?
Yeah.
Let me tell you, if Pacino can have a kid at 82, then there could be drug dealers at 82. What's harder? I would say creating a kid. I'm still not over that. I don't know how Pacino did that at 82.
Well, you handled the creation part just fine, I'm assuming, 10-plus months ago. And Pacino, I bet, is not doing the 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. shift like you are, buddy.
No. I'm not talking about taking care of the kid. I'm talking about the conception, because think about it. Let me try to do this without being too lewd. But anatomically,
please,
he's got to get into a state where that, all of those things have to happen, and he's 82 years old. That seems impossible. I mean, I know with modern medicine, you know, you have the blue chews, and that's, but could you imagine at 82 years old basically shooting the water into the clown's mouth? That's a tough one to thread the needle on.
Now I can't go to a circus anytime soon.
Right, at 82? This ain't 52, 82. How many of us will even be, you know, we'll be senile, we'll be decrepit, 82 years old?
I think Pacino, there was probably a turkey baster involved. I don't know if there was an actual.
Well, so that's a different story. Did he deposit and then they did the science?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah, there's no way he's getting blood rush. And
that's what I mean. If he did that act and it worked, that is amazing. He's like a cyborg.
Should be a motivational speaker if that's the case.
Impregnating somebody at 82? But again, right, if he made a deposit and then they did all the science behind it, it's a little bit more understandable. But okay, so would you rather have an 82-year-old dad or an 82-year-old weed dealer?
82-year-old weed dealer, for
sure.
Yeah. Because I feel like if I was ever feeling testy and wanted to try to rip him off, I feel like I could probably get away with it. And what's going to happen? Is 82-year-old going to beat my ass?
But is he like with his walker coming to my car window and doing like the handshake inside the door? Like, how is this going down? I need to know.
He puts it at the end of his cane, and then he just opens up a little cap on the end of the cane, and it just falls out.
He knows a guy.
Yeah, it's in the golf ball on the bottom of his walker that he's using for traction. The tennis ball.
It's in his fanny pack.
Okay, back to Pacino for just a second here, guys.
Uh-oh.
Pacino, imagine he goes, Do you think he'll make his kid's high school graduation? He would be 101 years old.
No.
100 or 101 at high school graduation. 104, 105 at college graduation.
What about elementary school?
Yeah. Does he see the third grade?
I mean, this whole thing is... I wonder what the oldest guy to conceive is.
It'll be Boyle eventually.
It'll be Boyle.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Will Boyle make 82 at his lifestyle?
Probably not.
Well, if you keep winning all this money and the PB boys really take off,
yeah,
you can pay for doctors and diets and all this kind of, you know, care to keep you alive.
I'll be a vegetable in hospice, just chilling.
No, not even that. Like, you'll be a spry 105.
You think so?
The 105 will be the new 82.
Non-veggie?
Yeah.
Non-veggie state?
Out there making eight-leg parlays on, I don't know, some kind of like holographic sports right in front of you.
Spreading seed?
Yeah.
Winning bets?
Exactly.
That's honest. That's pretty good. I'll take that at 105, man.
That's pretty good. A week from Friday, we get to Oil Boyle.
Great.
Spreading seed, making bets.
You do that when I leave.
That's his BetQL show at 105.
No, that's 10 a.m. in Tucson after Big Baby in the Landfill. You get the PB boys.
Big Baby in the Landfill, followed by the PB boys. Spreading seed, making bets.
I was a baby.
Big Baby and the Landfill.
There's going to be like another Kachuk. Junior. Kachuk that he's betting on. Spreading seed, making bets. That's what I'm doing. Get some of this, youngsters. Have some.
Make the picks. Make the damn picks.
Smoking weed. Spreading seed.
Make the damn picks.
Smoking weed, spreading seed, and winning bets.
Come on, youngsters. Have some. Dog. It's a bunch of dogs around here. You. Dog.
I'll be like Old Yeller at that point.
Come on, Junior. You want some of this? We're smoking weed. Spreading seed, winning bets.
Come on, man.
But they're only on from 11 to 11:30 in Tucson. That's all the energy they have.
Yeah, I got to get a nap in. I need a nap in after 30 minutes.
You can barely get to segment two.
And all the radio ads are Blue Chew.
I like music.
Blue Chew and Viagra.
What?
They're done after the cold open. That's it. There's one segment.
What?
We're done for the day.
But I was a baby.
I teased the bet. That's all. I teased the bet for 25 minutes, then me and Pete deliver it, and then we do like a two-bar little rap verse. I'm trashing my own junk.
It's the PB boys. Have some. Come and get this.
You dog.
You dogs. And at that point in time, it's going to be like what do they call those?
Holograms?
Hologram dogs or AI dogs, all fake dogs. Have some. Come on. Have some of this. Dogs. When we come back on the show, should Oklahoma tone down its celebrations? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Choose your weapon. Peeps with salsa or a kielbasa to the face. The DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, welcome back and a good Wednesday to you, everybody. Coming up here next hour, about 20 minutes from now. Maybe 30 minutes from now. Christopher Mintz Plus, a.k.a. McLovin, from Superbad, is going to join us here on the show. Very cool. You can always listen to the show on our hundreds of affiliates nationwide across the CBS Sports Radio Network and also on SiriusXM 158. Ahead of the Women's College World Series final, Oklahoma softball coach Patty Gasso says that she has told her team, be unapologetic for the way that you play and your celebrations. The OU softball team has been dominant all season, and they have gotten a lot of fanfare for being historically dominant as well. And that's turned off some opponents because they beat up on everybody pretty good, and they have fun doing it. And she said, because women have worked so hard to get here, yet still get judged for those things, that's the way we play. That's what people enjoy. Or you don't. You either like it or you don't. But we're not going to apologize for these players knowing the game and celebrating the right way. They've been ranked number one all season long. They have won 51 consecutive games. They are seeking their third straight national championship. They'll play Florida State in the final. It's a best of three series. But they've gotten some criticism because they've played with emotion. And, you know, to me, this usually comes down on teams and players that are really good. People just get sick of you winning. It's why, you know, the Patriots got under my skin for so long. You just get sick and tired of the winning, and then if you add on to it, the Patriots cheating stuff and ego and arrogance and all that type of stuff, that really bothered me. But it usually just comes down to the winning teams rub people the wrong way because they're always beating up on them. And I don't think there's anything wrong with Oklahoma playing with emotion, celebrating their championships and their wins. I really don't. I don't think there's anything wrong with what they're doing. They're getting this flack because they're so dominant and people are exhausted by it. Opponents are exhausted by it. And it builds a resentment when you're just kicking people's tush all over the place. But I don't think they're doing anything wrong. I think we live in a day and age now where it's much more lenient on teams being able to celebrate and emote instead of, quote, doing things the right way or by the book, the old school way. Baseball and softball and some sports, even like golf and tennis, have opened up a little bit, and I think that's for a good thing. And this is just a case where, you know, I don't think they're trying to rub it in opponents' faces. I don't think they're trying to play with poor sportsmanship. I think they're having a good time because they're freaking awesome. Having a good time.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.